It's been a long time. The Fake Spike Podcast is back. It's got to be a year, maybe more than a year. I don't even remember when it was. With me today, the one and only Barry Turner. He keeps saying, let's do a podcast. I'm like, I can't. And finally today, the Jets have given us a reason to do a podcast. So, and that there's a lot of reasons to do podcasts. We haven't done them. But what's up, Barry?
Rob, I'd like you to consider this another intervention. Okay.
For me? Okay.
Very.
The dark side or intervention?
No, for me. No. Okay. It's a dark side or intervention. Okay. When I see Vinny Melipioni, is that it? Melipioni? Is that how you say it?
I believe so.
So right. I think when you and I were driving to the Hall of Fame, you called them Melipioni Loloni. But I believe it's Melipioni, right?
So there you go.
When I see Vinny, the ultimate, let's call him anti-dark-sider, sunny-sider, get down about the game tomorrow, I got to jump in here and say, Rob, have some hope, okay? I'm not just intervening for you. I've interviewed the entire group, Rob. You are our pathetic leader. tell me, why? What happened? What happened to the guy who would normally say, you know, I saw some promising things in the Kansas City game. I'm really kind of looking forward to what they do tomorrow. What happened?
I did see some promising things, but, you know, 42 years of empirical evidence is what makes me fear tomorrow. You know, like intellectually, I look at it and say, all right, the Jets are a pretty decent team. They haven't showed it, but they have all the pieces. They did well last week. They should do well, but years and years and years of abuse of having the Jets turn that corner, supposedly turn the corner, go against a bad team where everybody in the world, and this is what's happening now, everybody in the world is like, the Jets are on their way. They're going to stomp Denver, blah, 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 blah. The whole public is going crazy. The Jets always, and I do mean always, fail in that situation. It is like the sun coming up in the morning and the sun going down at night. They fail miserably. They go in and we're left scratching our heads wondering why this team could look so good last week against such and such and so bad against this team. So that's until they show me, I just can't get my hopes up for it. So I have a feeling they're going to lose.
So you're actually saying that you're actually saying you saw some good things last week.
Oh,
tell me about those good things that you saw.
let's see. I mean, it all starts with there's two things. It all starts with Zach Wilson and the offensive play calling. I mean, but there were enough bad things, which I'm sure we'll get to. But the good things I saw, Zach Wilson for two quarters looked like an NFL quarterback. He was making good throws. He was showing confidence. He was running an offense. And the second they stopped setting the offense up for him to succeed, he started sputtering again a little bit, not as much. He looked pretty good on that last drive, but of course, because he's wearing green with the Jets on the helmet, he fumbled the ball away. So that's to be expected.
What do you attribute that loss to?
Oh, I know where you're going with this, because we've been arguing about it all week.
This is not a trap.
No, I know it's not a trap, but I know you're leading me. But okay. But you and so many others are blaming this loss directly on the referees, and I am not. I think, and in fact, I will give the example here, like as what I said to you earlier is you know, men who are married know this phenomenon, right? You and your wife argue over things. You say things. She says things. Finally, you yell, and she's like, "I can't believe you yelled at me." And then the argument becomes about her, you yelling at her, and she never even thinks about what led to it and why you could possibly be angry enough to yell. Right? That is the Jets and the referee last week. The Jets blew so many opportunities on offense, on defense, coaching, everything, and then left themselves in a position where the referees could screw them. So I can't say the refs cost them the game. The Jets clearly, to me, cost themselves the game.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you something. Try to avoid these analogies about wives, okay? Because I'm already feeling the sting. I'm feeling the sting of something that you brought up very close to it, which is, I woke up the other morning having really bad dreams all night, which is kind of like what happens normally to me the day, you know, the night before I'm going to work the next day, right? So bad dreams, everything's going wrong, and I wake up and I just want to, you know, shower, shave, comb hair, get out of the house and get the thing started, right? And my wife is doing what she always does, which is, you know, while I'm trying to get ready, she's over at her sink trying to get ready, and she's saying, you know, you need to talk to Josh about this, and you need to talk about John, and I'm not going to take this anymore. And I don't know. And I look at her and I say, I am trying to mentally get myself ready to start what's likely to be a very frustrating and pressure-filled day. And you're bringing me down, and I'm trying to bring myself up here. And I did the worst thing a man could do. I told her what I was thinking.
Oh, okay? I was saying, I hope you didn't say that out loud. Oh, my God.
So now, 3 days later, she, by the way, she, because this is what she does, she turned this against me by saying, well, if that's the way you feel about what I do to you when I speak, I just won't speak to you. So
there you go.
So that's where we're at. So please don't use those wife analogies anymore. Ironically, that one hurt.
Ironically, you are going through exactly what I'm talking about right now. So there you go. Okay. So we've all been through it. So that to me is the perfect analogy about the Jets this week. The Jets pick. They annoy. They do this. They do that. And then when the referee screws them, everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe you screwed the Jets. The Jets bent over and screwed themselves long before the referees even got to the
room. But I'm going to use a different marital analogy here. Okay.
Sure.
So what tends to happen when there's an argument, like we as men, we put it behind us, right? And I'm not saying we didn't cause the argument. I don't want any female listeners to say, here they are talking about how women suck and all that. No. Believe me, I got the better of the deal. And I look at your wife. She's pretty hot, by the way, Rob. You got the better of the deal. No question. It's not. And by the way, it's not that you're not a good looking guy, John. Right? I mean, you in your own way, you have something going there. But what I'm saying and what I'm trying to say is, like, sometimes I guess we can almost be the worst part of what we see in our wives, which is like, why do you have to go back to that argument we had last year? Like, why do you always have to go back to that bad thing that happened 5 years ago, you know? But with football, we do tend, and I think the group is really holding on to this Kansas City aftermath, you know, and disaster, as I see it. In a way that we can't shake it. And I'm just going to tell you a couple things why I can't shake it. I was at the gym yesterday, and just a casual football fan and I were talking. Even he said this. I mean, he looks at it and he says, that penalty on Sauce, he goes, the referee should call that when it happens. You don't wait to see how the play ends up and then throw. That's the only thing he said. And that's just a casual guy. Like, the rest of us are like going insane. Like, right, if it's holding, call the holding. And by the way, I said to my son at the time, I said, Josh, and you know Josh, I said to Josh, that looked like I could debate this, but I think that was holding. I think it was. But I know, like, referees during the game will kind of decide as the game goes on, or maybe they decide before the game, we're going to let them play today or we're not going to let them play today, right? Because they could call holding on every play. But that looked like a play that it could go either way. What kills me is they waited to see if it worked out well for the Jets and then called the penalty. Wrong. But the biggest thing for me, and I don't know why they did this, but the camera angle on Jermaine Johnson being held, I mean, that camera could be looking at the entire field, and instead it is focused on Jermaine Johnson trying to get this guy's hands off him, punching at him, kicking. And you're watching it, and you're like, call the fucking holding! And then there's a flag, and my son and I look at each other, and like, oh, finally, they fucking called it. And it's against the Jets. And it, like, well, Rob, these things don't happen in normal games. So you can understand. Can you at least empathize with us why we would feel that?
I do understand, and I agree that, I mean, that Jermaine Johnson thing, that looks to me like a friend holding up a drunk guy, right? Like, the drunk guy is like trying to walk past him, and he grabs him by the lapels and he's holding him up. That's what that looked like to me. Ridiculous that they don't call that, right? And the Sauce call was ridiculous. I agree. It could go either way. If that would have been the call, they threw the flag immediately, I would have been pissed, but I wouldn't be like, I can't believe you made that call. You're right. They threw that flag after the interception was made. It wasn't even close. And then the referee has the balls to get up there and say that the penalty occurred before the quarterback threw the ball. Are you kidding me?
I agree with
all of that. Yeah, it makes me angry. It definitely makes me angry. But the point is that did not directly cost the Jets the game. Just one of many factors. Because even after those calls, the Jets still had ways to stop them and didn't do it. You know what I mean? It's just they shoot themselves in the foot every opportunity.
The Jets. There's one thing about the Jets that they've never done well. I mean, okay, there's a lot of things the Jets have never done well. But one of them is, you know, when there's a 2-minute drill and they got 2 minutes to go down the field, they'll waste that 2 minutes the worst possible ways, and then all of a sudden up 13 seconds and go 60 yards. Right. It's like you just can't even watch it. You can't even believe it. It's almost like they don't practice it. Like they don't practice it, right? My son's high school team practices. They don't practice it, right? Time management is always awful. And Rob, one thing, if I see this game, I will shut it off. And, you know, I'm very good at shutting it off. Like Josh will come find me, right, ultimately, if they're coming back. But if we need 9 yards and he does a little dump off for 4 yards, I'm not – that's it. That's off. I am watching some of the worst teams in the NFL that know when you need – when it's 3rd and 9 and you need 9, at least throw it 9 10. Yards. Right. Okay. We're not seeing that anymore.
The Jets throw it. I don't get it as annoyed by a 2 yard pass because a lot of the time you got guys got room and you hope he makes a move. But when you throw a 6 yard pass on 3rd and 7, that drives me fucking crazy. You couldn't run the. I mean, what's 3 feet when you're running that fast? It's a split second. Just go an extra split second and make you cut there. It kills me. I don't know if that's
third and one, and we'll have to throw the ball. And I'm looking at that like,
I know.
Zach isn't good at those 5 yard passes, so he's not going to throw it 5 yards from where his arm is landing. You know, I just want to run the ball on 3rd and 1 and get the first down. Right. Okay. So, Rob, any final thoughts on Kansas City before I think we officially kill it on Kansas City and are able mentally to move on.
I want to add a couple of other things that really annoyed me about that game. One of them plays into what you just said, throwing it on third and one. And then kicking the field goal. That annoyed the shit out of me. 30 seconds left in the half. You have 3 timeouts left. Okay. Let's go through the couple of scenarios. If you kick the field goal, the Chiefs still have 25-ish seconds to kick a field goal and put you in the exact same position you were in before the play. Right. If you go for it, then you take the same 5 seconds off the clock. The Chiefs get the ball in a better position. And for you, then if you miss the field goal, right? If you get the first down, you've got 3 timeouts to get down the field and at worst kick a better field goal or try and score a touchdown. And that's what's killing me. You're down 8 points. It's not 12 points. It's not 9 points. It's not 17 points where any points matter. Go for the friggin' touchdown with those 3 timeouts. If that was a play not to lose call, and the Jets are fucking their Hall of Famers at playing not to lose. All of their coaches do it. It's the same shit. So that annoyed the hell out of me. And that's one of the things that kills me. And I feel like the Jets shot them in the foot, themselves in the foot.
Okay. So since you're reminding me of these things, and I'm getting even, by the way, look at the shirt. Life is simple. This is what I live. Woody Johnson, one of your favorite owners of all time. You know, I understand to a certain extent. You know, Rob Salo can't, you know, he can't say anything. He might get fined. Maybe he doesn't have the $30 that they'd fine him to, you know, because talking about the refs after the game.
Because he's only making Douglas, millions. Yeah.
Douglas doesn't feel that he needs to say anything normally, right? He's never had, you could never quote him on anything, except on maybe draft day. He'll say, I was really surprised.
Really love this guy.
Like what every GM says. I'm really surprised he was there at number 87. As an owner, you got at least $500,000 that you're not doing anything with, right? Say something. Show your players, show the fan base that you're fucking pissed off and you're not going to put up with it anymore. Right. That's what we need to hear. And he won't do it because he doesn't have any clue what guys like you and I and the rest of the folks in our, you know, on the group, how we view this. Like, this is actually like important to us. We wouldn't be on this podcast right on a Saturday night. We wouldn't be talking about if our football team it wasn't important to us. Maybe we're immature because of football to us, but you know something? It is what it is. We're fans. Well, it's important to us. So show us the passion. Show us you empathize with us. You know, do something. And he does nothing. And it just infuriates me, but I'm ready to close the book on it. Are you good?
No, I got the point about Woody Johnson. The one point, and then we can move on. Okay. Earlier this week, I posted a picture of my Darksider profile on Twitter telling Woody Johnson he's a disgrace. It's a picture of him with his grandson and Taylor Swift saying, yep, we're Swifties too. Now, if he had posted that before the game, I would have just been kind of annoyed. If he had posted it 3 weeks from now or a month ago, whatever, I wouldn't even thought about it. Who cares? This guy, to your point exactly, just picking up where you left off, this guy, instead of being angry about the game and doing, can you imagine Jerry Jones in that situation? Or, you know, give me another big profile owner. Jerry Jones, probably the biggest profile. Yeah. Right.
Kraft.
If Jerry Jones had been in that situation, he would have gone crazy.
Robert Kraft.
Find them, and
he would be in a, you know, what do you get caught in the, he'd be yelling at the masseuse. He'd be put a video. Well, actually, the FBI would have some video of him telling the masseuse like how mad he is. There would be something out there, right?
Right. And that's the difference between you and me and some of the other fans. Even though they're big fans, they just don't look at Woody Johnson, or they don't look at this, they don't look at that the same way. When I posted that picture, people were like, what's the big deal? It's his grandson. He gets to meet a pop star. Who cares? Who cares?
They're not understanding.
Right in 900 other positions. But this particular position, you're one day after
the
your
time and the
robbed.
Place. It's all about the time and the place, right? That was not
Woody
the time
Johnson,
and the place.
Instead of posting pictures of him shaking Zach's hand or posting the uniform, the upcoming colors of the uniform for this week, Woody, who the fuck cares, Woody? Freaking, like, show you,
you know what,
shit
you,
and know something
you, do
about
you know,
football.
Do you know
yell
what millions of Jeff fans in all over the country want to see a picture of him yelling at one of the – coming on the field and, like, yelling. And it's a, then you know what you'd say? He's not an empty suit anymore. He's actually a guy who cares, right? He's not just an
episode. I don't even
suit.
Need to
All
see
right,
that.
I'm ready to
need
move
to see
on.
That.
I'm
I need to. On. I need to have a reporter say, you know, there's talk that Woody Johnson was on the phone with the commissioner's office expressing his displeasure. Even that I would take. Instead, we're getting selfies with his fucking grandson
Bingo.
And Taylor Swift. Yeah, I mean, come on. Give me a break. All right, we can move on now. Jets Chiefs in the books. Jets
game
Broncos
preview.
Coming up.
Game preview.
Rock and roll.
What do you expect to see? Well, now do you expect to see if you weren't a Jet fan for 42 years – what would you expect to see based on how they played in the last game and what, and how bad Denver is? You're not a Jets fan. You're not a lifelong Jets fan. So you're totally objective about it. What would you expect to see?
I'm not even a football fan who knows about the Jets. I am just looking at this. If I'm an alien who came from another planet and had billions of points of data given to me about teams and where they are, I would absolutely say the Jets are angry. They are angry. They are looking to make a statement after last week. They turned the corner. The defense is going to be up. The Broncos are terrible. The Jets should. This should be a statement game, and the Jets should. And I'm saying should, again, as this alien who's never heard of the Jets or anything else, they should steamroll the Broncos. They should win this game by two touchdowns or more easily. Yeah. The Jets should come out immediately, put the kill on them, not let them back in the game, and they should win this game big. Now, big on the road, you know, in the mile high air. Let's
they insulted our offensive coordinator for no reason. Yep.
No reason at all. Yeah. Yep. So, and the team too. Oh, the Jets are doing all of this on Hard Knocks, blah, blah, blah. They won the offseason, whatever comments he made. Agreed. So,
but if you were that alien, you know, if you were that alien with those million points of data, AI, all that shit, all thrown in,
right?
What did you see in the game in Kansas City that says to you that those are things that we can really take advantage of in the game against Denver? Yeah.
See, now what you're doing is you're pointing me in the direction of the casuals, and we're not casuals, Barry. We are not casuals. The casuals, like my wife, is the ultimate casual. She doesn't understand football that well, and she's like, oh, my God, they were in the game. You should be so happy. They almost beat the Chiefs. I can't be happy after the way they gave the game away. Even, like, people who are not Jets fans are like, listen, man, your team's on its way. They should beat the Broncos. Don't worry. They turned the corner, whatever. I've heard all of that, and I agree. From the outside looking in, it does look like they turned the corner. It does look like things came together last week. It does look like the offensive line finally gelled after 4 weeks. The defense.
Do you ever notice? Yeah. Just pause there for a second. You ever notice when they move ATV on the line somewhere that's a problem area, it helps the entire line. Like, he should be the ultimate.
Last year,
like, he doesn't even have, like, he's the only offensive lineman in the NFL that doesn't really need a position. He can come out and he can play left tackle, right tackle, any guard position. And that is just a position that you're not worried about that game. And he makes everybody better. I'm wondering if we played Dallas again, I would have had ATB play left tackle instead of having a 68-year-old man out there trying to stop the best linebacker since Lawrence Taylor. Why didn't they just put ATV out there? I don't get it, because he's athletic, he's strong, he's tough, he's quick. I get, but long story short, you know, what I'm trying to get to is, here's what I saw in that game and why I guaranteed it. I'm running that guaranteed it today on the dark side of side. I guaranteed it. The reason I guaranteed it is because our defense started out. What defense, right? They didn't even show up, right? But we beat them the rest of the way after the first quarter. So I look at what happened in that game, and I say our defense humiliated the best quarterback that we've had in the NFL in years. Humiliated him. I mean, when I say humiliation, I mean Zach Wilson played better than he played. That's how we humiliate. So I'm thinking the defense, the defense normally doesn't regress. Like, you know, I play basketball. When you shoot the ball, you could have a bad day. But defense is just effort, right? Right. I think defensively, we can stop them. You know, I'm not a sack fan yet, but if he could do these same things over four quarters, if that offensive line is now solidified, knowing ATV is moving to right tackle, and I think it will be better. As you say, Becton didn't look awful, right? He's still healthy. So I think there's some good things happening there. But the biggest one for me is, you know, my favorite Jets player, Breece Hall. The first couple of games, you could almost see that he still has that ability to juke at the line and almost like an O.J. Simpson type way to slide through tackles. That, you know, you don't see very often. Like, he can make something out of nothing better than anybody I've seen in a while, right? But the thing that made him so good in those first couple games last year is he had that incredible acceleration once he got through the linebackers, right? He doesn't seem to have that. He's still fast, right? But not that acceleration that made him that huge difference maker. Very interesting, I think, to see tomorrow. Now that they've said that they're going to unleash him. In other words, he's not on a pitch count anymore. Let's see what he does now that he's not on that pitch count. Let's see if that acceleration comes back, because that's a difference maker for us.
Yeah, well, I saw in a couple of places where they posted that his acceleration is still there. The next gen stats still show he hit 20 miles an hour, whatever it was. But he probably doesn't have the stamina just yet. You know, that's a long run. Probably, you know, needs to work up. I mean, he you know, as recently as 5-6 months ago, he was still in a position where he was building up his knee and probably a little behind on the conditioning. You know, so I would say that if we're in week 8 and week 9 and week 10 and he's breaking these runs and you know the linebackers are catching him, then we may have a problem. But first couple of games of the season, I'm willing to sit back and watch. And like you, I'm happy he's still able to break these runs. What a difference between him and Dalvin Cook. Jesus Christ. I mean, Dalvin Cook is I don't think he's run for more than 3 yards on any play, you know?
Dalvin who?
Dalvin Cook. I think that's his name.
I'm not going to say what I call him. So far, a total waste of a pick. I'm not sure. Like that, what was it, 2 games ago where Michael Carter got into an argument with the running back coach? I think he's probably saying, Dalvin Cook, he can't do anything. Why am I not playing more? Why am I not the second back? And I think this is the game that maybe Mike Carter becomes the second back. You know, maybe you give it to Dalvin a few times, and if he just can't do anything, you got to get him out of there. Maybe he did lose a step or two, and maybe that's why, you know, Minnesota let him go. I don't know, but he doesn't look like – let me put it this way. You're talking about Breece Hall, who had a major and sometimes career-threatening injury, who looks 10 times the running back as Dalvin Cook does.
Agreed. I think Minnesota let him go because he probably wanted multiple years like a lot of these running backs, and he's a year, 2 years tops, and maybe even already there at the cliff where running backs fall off and their production stops. So I think Minnesota did the Belichick thing and went a year early rather than the Jets thing, which is a year late, you know? I am not so sure Cook is done. I think Cook is probably, you know, he probably is not being utilized correctly. He probably needs more carries. You know, he's not a run into the line three times kind of guy, and that's the way they've been using him, you know? And he's never going to be that workhorse for the Jets because you have Breece Hall. Now Breece Hall's shown he's healthy. So at this point, you just suck it up and you either try and trade the guy for anything you can get, or you just put him at the end of the bench in case Hall gets hurt or something. I don't think there's much you could do because you're not going to give him more carries. You want Hall getting 15 to 20, and if Cook can be your five or six guy, then so be it. But I don't know that Cook is done. I just don't think he's had enough work. You know, the Jets have been behind
a lot.
Said,
not to cut you off, but just thinking about, I'm just looking at the schedule here. Where did you expect us to be with Aaron at this point?
Through the first six games, I was hoping for 3-3, and I probably would have accepted 2-4, figuring that they needed to gel a little bit. So we're not off the mark. If we can win this week,
I'm going with this.
At my worst case scenario, yeah. So.
Okay, so let's just get it clear. Tomorrow, win or lose, which one is it? Are we going to win or lose? What is your? Rob, 42-year Jet fans. Are we winning or losing tomorrow?
Lose. Too many times over the years they've lost in this situation.
I say win, and we crush them. And I'd like to make you a $1 bet. This is the famous $1 bet that I've lost with Dr. Stu and Vinny. And it's more about the embarrassment of losing than it is the money that you gain. But I'm willing to make you the $1 bet, Rob, right here now on the dark on your show. This is your show, and I'm going to win that dollar from you. Are you in,
Barry? I'm definitely in for the bet, but let's go for bragging rights.
This is for bragging rights.
We'll shake on it. There you go. Okay.
Okay. Dollar. Right. Okay. Yeah. That's the dollar. That's the dollar. Everybody knows.
So what is the bet now? Win versus lose?
Because Dr. Stu and Vinny never let me forget that they won the dollar for me. So I bet the Jets will win. You bet they're going to lose. Simple as that. Okay.
All right. So I'd be happy to lose that bet. So.
Okay. So you were saying that...
No, I think it's going to be low scoring and ugly.
You thought that it could have been 2-4, even with Aaron, right? So let's look at the games. If we win tomorrow, we're 2-4.
Right.
Because there's no way in hell we're beating the Eagles.
So... And let me ask you a question now. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to ask Barry, and this is Barry, not the alien with the billions points of data.
This is 50 years. Tomorrow. This is 50 years. 50 years.
50 years. That's right. You got a couple on me. So, Barry, the super fan for 50 plus years, what do you see happening tomorrow? I know you say Jets win. What does Zach Wilson look like? If you're going to tell me that Wilson really did turn the corner, he's going to look very good, then what we talk about in these upcoming games will be much different than if the Jets scratch out a 13-10 win because, you know, he was only adequate and the defense had to bail them out. So which direction do you see that going? Now it could be either new optimistic Barry or old sack hating Barry, whichever
this
one.
This is the current Barry here Saturday night, 4:44 p.m. Eastern time on the Dark Sider podcast episode. What do you call this thing now?
This is the fake spike podcast.
Fake spike. Okay. And this is Barry, one half of the Phil Corradino show, otherwise known as Curtis Up the Middle or Come. Consider this a half come. Okay. For today.
I got a little bit of action with nothing coming out, right?
Hold on. A little bit of cut. Okay.
Half
the reason I feel the Jets are going to run away with it is because the defense is just going to stymie the Denver offense. I don't think Wilson has it anymore. I think it's done. He's done. I think they're going to have seven sacks. I'll throw seven out there as a number. Seven sacks.
Seven. I'm
frustrate him.
What do we got to lose?
Okay. And then offensively, I see Zach Wilson having a better than average game. I still don't believe he's an NFL quarterback, but I feel that this Denver team's defense is made for him. So I feel he's going to do a lot of things like running and improvising and things that he couldn't get away with. And he's certainly not going to get away with next week in Philadelphia. But, you know, I really see Breece Hall getting 100 yards. He may even break one or two. So I just feel like this game is exactly the team that I would want to play to have a win when I know as a 50-year fan we're going to lose. Like, you know, please understand, is that screaming in the back of my brain saying, you're going to fucking lose this because you, this is what they do to you. But there's something that I feel inside that they're going to rise to this moment. And it doesn't mean we're going to make the playoffs this year. We're still going to have to take this game by game. But I think what you were said before is very true. We easily could have been 2-4 with Aaron starting. So, you know, we win tomorrow. And Rob, one last thing. It's about hope, right? I mean, we all just kind of just want to have a football season, right? I just like to have a football season. You know, when you're pushing Thanksgiving, I like to still say there's a mathematical chance we can make the playoffs, right? That's all I really ask. And if you win tomorrow, that's still possible.
Can you see me blowing you kisses because you're so cute? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, hope. This team is all about hope. Isn't the whole point of the Dark Jets in general that they kill your hope?
We are. No, I know. But what I'm saying is
they take hope and twist it into a pretzel and then kick it down the stairs. This is
but we need hope. I need a football season. Okay. I'm not, you know, look, I'm going to be a Devils fan this year. As everybody knows, I've decided to go back to my roots and, become a Devils fan. Phil Cardino has already, he already has the jerseys coming from China. For Josh and myself, and I'm going to be going to Devils game this year, and that's going to be something that's going to be a developing story for me. But I need my football season, at least until Thanksgiving. I just need it. I feel like I need it. Okay, can I have it? That's my hope. That's my hope.
Thanksgiving is what's Thanksgiving is. Okay, so I got the Thanksgiving weekend game, the Dolphins. Okay, let's just do up to Thanksgiving and see if the Jets can be in it. They're 1-3 right now. You're saying they beat the Broncos, so they're 2-3. Are they beating the Eagles next week?
No, never.
2-4. Are they beating the Giants on the road? Not that it really matters on the road, but
you know,
I think they beat the Giants. Yeah, okay. I don't see
that. Could we agree on something?
Yeah.
If there's two games this year, if we lost those two games, don't even talk to me about making the playoffs. Denver and the Giants. If you can't win those two games, don't talk to me about the playoffs. I just don't want to hear about it.
Okay.
We agree?
Okay, so 3-4. Yeah.
Do you agree?
I do agree, I have been saying all this time the Jets have to win the winnable games, right? And New England was a winnable game they should have won. They've already lost one of them. So you can't afford to lose anymore. 100% agree. Okay, beat the Giants, 3-4. Chargers at home.
It depends what Sack is looking like at that point, right?
It depends what Chargers team
Let's face
to.
It, at that point in time, we agree. I don't know, maybe we don't agree, but I believe at that point in time, we know whether or not he is serviceable as an NFL quarterback. If he is, okay. I think we have a chance.
Well, realistically, the Jets could beat the Chargers even if he's not serviceable, but the Jets are not going to beat the really good teams if he's not better than serviceable. Okay, so let's say Zach's serviceable, they beat the Chargers. They're 4-4. They're going to beat the Raiders on the road. I'm not even going to pretend about that one. That's 5-4. So now you're already guaranteed to be mathematically alive at Thanksgiving, because then the Bills on the road next week, you're 5-5, and then the Dolphins at home. Whatever. So worst case, 5-6 after Thanksgiving, and that means they're in the thick of the race, especially with their schedule coming up after that. They got the Falcons, the Texans, the Commanders, the Browns, and the Patriots on the schedule after that. If you get into that Thanksgiving weekend at 5-6 and you don't make the playoffs, then shame on you. But you got to get to 5-6. That's going to be the tough part.
And that's it. So I don't have any more time left today to talk. I just felt like this was an intervention. I don't know if you have any final words or want to continue without me.
I need to give you an intervention. I need to give you an intervention.
Rob, you're one of the few people that actually gets me.
Get kicked in the balls again.
I guarantee it.
He guarantees it. Okay, Neiman. All right, Barry. Good luck. We'll catch up after the weekend. And
we will.
That's the Fake Spike Podcast. With I believe this is episode 94 or 95. I'll have to check it, but we're closing in on 100. So be good. Take care. Go Jets.